give God all the glory for that. Amen. Just a tremendous, tremendous testimony about the faithfulness of God. Five salvations today in the county jail. Again, that's phenomenal. And all that God is doing. Well, look, we got together last time, the prayer of intercession. I've been hearing a lot of great reports about this teaching. I hope it's been helping you as well. You know, with what's going on in the earth today, I don't know how you are not a person of prayer. You either, you know, you got to be a selfish-minded person, self-centered type of person, or you're just living upside down in a hole somewhere. But, you know, this hour that we're in is going to call the best out of us. It's going to cause the greatness of God out of us. And I'm looking forward. I mentioned this to what I just spoke to you a few minutes ago. I mentioned this to this person. I'm not looking for the crisis and the chaos and the destruction. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see none of this. I spent enough time looking at the Las Vegas shooting and looking at videos. I don't want to see that. I want to see the revival. I want to see the harvest. I want to see people born again. I want to be part of the rescue team that pulls them out of that situation and pulls them out of that fire. And so our hearts are right. We cannot have the heart of the sons of thunder. We can't be that way. We can't say, well, we want to see this happen. I don't want to see none of that happen. It's going to happen. It is happening. But we've got to keep our hearts right. So how do you do that? You do that through being a person of prayer and especially intercession. Okay, so last time we got together, said when we pray at the level of our comfort. When we intercede at the level of the Holy Spirit's discomfort. How many of y'all, that word just hit you pretty strong. That was just a download. Because it's the truth. When we pray, we usually pray from our comfort level. What makes us, you know, what we're concerned about. The issues of our life, the issue of our families, and so on and so forth. But when we intercede at the level of the Holy Spirit's discomfort. Because I'm telling you, you know, in this hour, God's not pleased with humanity. Let me try that one more time. God's not pleased with humanity. And he wants to bring sinners into his covenant, into relationship through the Lord Jesus Christ. But man is refusing him and rejecting him. So how do we do that? We must be willing to decrease. We must be willing to sanctify and consecrate ourselves to the place where he, the Holy Spirit, overrides our flesh, again, with that, with our permission, with our willingness, and speak through us. This level of intercession cannot happen unless we are empty of self. John chapter 3, verse 30, 1 Corinthians 15, 31, I die daily. Remember, die, decrease in everything. We got to get some shirts. Welcome to Ignited, die. Decrease in everything. Then you got to have that part in there because then they wouldn't understand, you know. They wouldn't understand any of that anyways. But, you know, I don't think we're going to do that with t-shirts, but that would be very interesting. Colossians 3, 5, mortify the members. Crucify it. Deal with it. You got a habit? Deal with it. Take it to the cross. Take it to the Holy Spirit. Take it to the woodshed. Come on now. Get rid of it. Self must be released from itself to become an agent of the Holy Spirit. That's a powerful truth. Self must be released from itself to become an agent of the Holy Spirit. If we're going to have the Holy Spirit work in us and work through us, we got to let go of some things in our lives so he can be in control. If we want resurrection power, we must have a crucified life. Okay, let me go on. So I talked about the first key was what? Identify or identification. Is that right? The second key that we're going to deal with is suffering. And I'm going to stay in that vein for just a little while because I'm not done squeezing the truth out of it. Okay? We're not done squeezing the truth out of this about suffering. And then I will give you the third key when I'm released to do that, and then we'll go from there. I don't know what we'll do as far as intercession may continue. All right, I want to read a lot to you that the Holy Spirit downloaded to me today. You need to write it, and I'll go over it a couple times. If not, just get the CD. The depth of our intercession is realized when we become more concerned about the world than our daily lives. When I say concern about the world, I mean the burden for the world, the lost world. The depth of our intercession is realized when we become more concerned about the world than our daily lives. Got to be concerned about the world. We can't be concerned about our paycheck, light bill, payments, life in general. I mean, those are things to bring to the cross and to bring to the Father. Absolutely. We're not saying we should negate that or neglect that. But we need to, if we're going to be intercessors and we're going to go to the depth of intercession, we need to realize that there's a dying, hurting world that's worse than you right now. You know, if you're in a traffic jam and it's a little inconvenience for you, or you have something going on in your job that's a little inconvenience for you, just think about those in Puerto Rico right now. Just think about our brothers and sisters in Syria and various parts of the world. Think about those living under dictatorships and persecution and so on and so forth. And so when you begin to release your own life and your own care, and you begin to focus on the world, then you begin to go into deeper intercession, deeper levels. As we decrease in caring for the things of the world, watch this. As we decrease in the caring for the things of the world, talking about now, we're talking about ourselves, talking about those daily life issues. As we decrease in caring for the things of the world, we increase in the carrying of the burden of the Holy Spirit. As we decrease in caring for the things of the world, again, our daily lives, our issues, we increase in the carrying of the burdens of the Holy Spirit. You see, and then our relationship becomes very intimate with him, because then he reveals the secrets of his heart to you. Now, a lot of Christians, they want to know the secrets of the lottery numbers. They want to know the secrets of their love life. They want to know these type of secrets. But the Holy Spirit, you know, he's not interested in those things. He's interested in the hurt, the pain, the suffering of humanity. Now, I'm not saying God's not interested in your personal thing. I didn't say that. What I'm saying is when you look at the larger picture, when we're more willing to care about what's on his heart, then he'll begin to respond what's on our heart. And we've messed this up in the church. We've gone to God and said, "Hi, God, my name is Jimmy. You need to give me, give me, give me." And that's not his name. And that's not how it works. So as we decrease in caring for the things of the world or our daily lives, we increase in caring of the burdens of the Holy Spirit. Now we've entered into a realm we've never been in. Now we've been, you know, granted access into the very counsel of God, because now God wants to speak to you because he knows he can trust you with his secrets and declare things through you to the world, whether it's through prophecy or whether it's through intercession or what have you. If you ever wondered why it sometimes is a struggle to hear from God, a lot of times it's because we're so focused on our stuff. And this is true. This is true for the preacher. This is true for everybody listening. Okay? Thus, watch this. Thus, we're promoted to hear, know, and see things, and I put my little quotations, a normal Christian life would never obtain. Thus, we're promoted to hear, know, and see things a normal Christian life would never obtain. / because it can't. So as we decrease in caring for the things of the world, the things of our daily life, we increase in the caring of the burdens of the Holy Spirit. Thus we are promoted, or then we are promoted, to hear, know, and see things a normal Christian life would never obtain, because it can't. It can't obtain these levels if it's just a normal Christian life. Say, "Pastor, define a normal Christian life." All you do is go to church. You read your Bible at church. You might read your Bible once in a while. You barely ever pray. You never ask God to speak through you. You never worship him. You never spend quiet time, set aside time. You just go to church regular basis. That's a normal Christian life. Are you saved? Absolutely. Nobody said you're not saved. But can you go higher in God and deeper into understanding? Absolutely. But you got to get connected with what God is connected with. Does this make sense to you? It's not a works thing necessarily. It's a relationship thing. We're talking about suffering now. We're talking about being an intercessor. And when you walk in that level of suffering, it means that you end up walking in the burdens of the Lord. You end up walking in the burdens of the Holy Spirit. All right? So why? Why is that? Our sensitivity to the Spirit of God increases when we suffer loss of self. Our sensitivity to the Spirit of God increases when we suffer loss of self. The sensitivity, our sensitivity to the Spirit of God increases when we suffer the loss of self. When we begin to decrease, He increases. We become sensitive to the spirit realm. We become sensitive to the voice of God. We hear God give us warnings. We hear the Father speak to us. We activate intercession. We begin to intercede and plead and pray. You can do this for your home. We're not talking about on a national level alone. We're talking about just interceding for your family or God warning you about relationships or deals or what to buy and what not to buy. How many of y'all wish you had the Holy Spirit on some things you did? I sure wish I would have heard or listened or obeyed. Okay? So our sensitivity to the Spirit of God increases when we suffer loss of self. And that's what I'm trying to teach about this aspect of intercession, is that key number two, suffering. It's something you're not going to hear on CBN or, you know, whatever Christian broadcasting, whatever is out there. You're not going to hear this type of message in mainstream Christianity because we don't want to hear about suffering. We want to hear about how do we pay our bills, how do we get richer. Well, I'm going to tell you something. When you end up decreasing, you'll have as much wealth as you need. God will supply all of your needs according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He will get money to you. He'll get everything you need to take care of you. Listen, not everybody's going to be a millionaire. Don't listen to the charlatans and the hirelings out there, the false prophets. It's not going to happen. But you can live a satisfied life. You can live a life of contentment. You can live a life of joy that's unspeakable and full of glory, and you may have a hole in your shoe. Some of the best people I've ever met were in third world countries. Some of the best Christians I ever met. Terry testifies, she's been overseas. I mean, you just meet people who live faith. They just live faith. It's an amazing experience, an experiment of the Holy Spirit, if you will, of Christianity, to watch people. And you know, rain's coming through the roof, and they love God with all their heart, and they're smiling and rejoicing, and they put a bucket under there. We'd cry, complain. Some folks would cuss and call the insurance agent. Come on, I'm not making fun of the prosperity this nation has, but I'm talking about the attitude that we have. So our sensitivity to the Spirit of God increases when we suffer loss of self. Now, go to Philippians chapter 3, if you will. Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to teach something, maybe a little different than you heard before, if that's okay. Give you another angle about Philippians chapter 3, because it deals with suffering. And bring us to a better understanding. And I've got a lot to give, so you might have to give me a few minutes after 8. Is that okay? I appreciate it. Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. So Paul said, I'm going to say something I said before. I'm going to repeat to you. And he said, you know what? Hey, no problem. It's good for you. We need to repeat things from the Bible. We need to listen to sermons and teachings over and over again. We need to read Scripture over and over again and find new truth in it. So Paul said, man, I got no problem, but I'm going to sound repetitive, but don't worry about it. It's good for you. It's safe. He said, beware of dogs and beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. He's talking about that word concision in the Greek means to mutilate. He was talking about those that wanted to bring him into circumcision. He called them mutilators. Pretty powerful, huh? He said, beware of them. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and receive rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. In other words, he's not worried about ceremonies and rituals. He understands that the circumcision came from the heart. Though I might have also confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I'm more. So Paul goes in now to his pedigree because he's trying to make a point. He's not over here trying to show off who he was. He begins by saying, look, we need to watch out because we got to have sound doctrine. The reason we don't have sound doctrine today in America is we don't have sound preachers. And because we don't have sound preachers, we don't have sound doctrine, we don't have sound Christians, we don't have sound churches, we got echo chambers. Many of your denomination churches, many of your highfalutin churches, they are echo chambers for other ministries. They watch somebody on television, they go to their conference, they get oil laid upon their head, and next thing you know, they want to be just like them, and they have three people. Amen. You've seen them. They strut in. They got bodyguards, and there's only, you know, like I said, three people, and they're all family. And the, you know, I heard a bishop say one time, he says, why would anybody want to kill you? And they get this mindset, and it's not sound. It's an echo chamber. We don't need an echo chamber of men. We need the heart of God. We need the Word of God. We need the Spirit of God. We need the living truth coming out of living water. Man, I just felt good saying that. Amen. It's only Wednesday. You get ready for Sunday. Pray for me. Pray for me for Sunday. Verse 4, for though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh he whereof he might trust in the flesh, I'm more circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Let me tell you something. Paul was awesome. When we get ISM kicked back up, I might end up doing a teaching completely on the Apostle Paul. And I'm telling you, you'll be shocked at this man of God and how powerful he was. So I'm going to listen to what he has to say. How about you? He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Amen. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, the Hebrews, a touching law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So he said, I want you all to know something. When it comes to Jewish teaching and traditions and understanding the law, I knew it. I lived it. But watch verse 7. But what things were gained to me? Now, Paul just spoke about religious things, didn't he? He was talking about his religious career, if you will, his religious profession. Okay? He was on his way to being the head. He was being groomed and being taught to be the high priest. Paul's got an amazing story. So he knew about religion, but he's going somewhere that we don't get taught very much. Watch this. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. The word lost there means damaged. In the Greek, it means damaged. He said, everything that I pursued in the world of religion, to me, it was damaged for Christ and his anointing, for the anointed one. I wanted him, so everything to me was damaged. And that's very important because we're not just talking about Paul becoming saved. I'm going to take you somewhere again. You may not have heard it this way. He's not just talking about him being saved from sin and giving up sin. He's given up his religious right, his religious career, his religious understanding. And he said it was damaged. It was no good to me. Do you see that? So it wasn't just about being saved. He was talking about his righteousness and his religious walk. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. He said, I'm going to throw everything in there. From basically the time that I was old enough to understand until this very day, everything about my life was damaged. It's a loss to me. For what? The excellency of the knowledge of God. The superior is what it means in the Greek. The superior knowledge. For the knowledge of Christ, my Lord. Do you see that? To him, it didn't matter. To him, he was going to let it all go. To him, he was gaining something. He was after something. He said, I counted all loss, everything, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. This is a powerful word. He said, but dung. Some of y'all don't remember. Skubalon. Remember the Greek word? Skubalon. It means dung. Animal dung. Trash. Rubbish. So now you can use some Greek on somebody. Man, that's a bunch of skubalon going on over there. You just said it was a bunch of trash. Y'all didn't know you can do that now. You got something on a lot of people, but chances are they may come at you and say, what do you mean, skubalon? Well, it's just skubalon what's happening in this place right now. You're talking a bunch of skubalon, mister. A bunch of junk. 4657, if you want to look that up. Okay. But watch this. Let's go back to verse 8, the top part. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. The word knowledge there in the Greek means intelligence. It means understanding. But it also means this. It means science. Paul was saying, all of my religious training, everything that I went after, my entire life, the accolades, the promise of position, the promise of promotion, the high lifestyle, everybody knowing my name in the synagogue, everybody seeing me down the road and calling me teacher and all these different things, all that stuff means nothing compared to having the science of Christ, the study of him. Did you know your relationship with God can be a science, a study of who he is? That's what discipleship is. It's a study of his life. It's a study of his death. It's the study of his sacrifices. And Paul was saying, I'm going to make an interchange. I'm going to make something changed here. I'm going to exchange my old life and knowledge of pursuit of the law and circumcision and all the traditions of man, and I am going to pursue the science of suffering for Christ. That's powerful. That is very powerful. Because that's exactly what we need to do, is to study Christ. Not some preacher, not some style of preaching, but the study of Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things for loss. They're lost to me. They're damaged. For the excellency of the knowledge or the science of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but skubalon, that I may win Christ. He wasn't talking about being saved. Paul was secure in his salvation. He knew who he was. He knew his relationship with God. He was secure in that fact. But he wanted to win Christ. He wanted to win the understanding of the life of Christ. He wanted to be at the head of the class of being a disciple. He wanted to use the same zeal and the same passion that he had to be a persecutor of the church and to be someone of teaching of the law. That he said, I'm going to take the same desire and I'm going to study Christ. I'm going to understand this suffering. I'm going to understand this relationship with him. Are you here today? This is talking about having a relationship that understands what Jesus went through. That's what the church should be doing right now. But this is so foreign to so many churches and Christians today, because we've had this understanding that it was all about ourselves, all about our blessings, all about how much stuff we can get. Really, it's all about how far are you willing to go without? How far are you willing to suffer for Christ? I'm not talking about living in a hut somewhere. I'm not telling you to sell everything you own. It's all about a heart attitude. And this is what Paul was teaching. Okay? He said, it's all scubalon. It don't mean nothing to me. It's all refuge. Rubbish. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He said, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to have this study. I'm going to have this life. But it's not going to be based on law. It's not going to be based on what I did. It's not going to be based on anything but what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary and how he raised from the dead through faith in God. That's how I'm going to live. Watch verse 10. That I may know him. Watch this. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, and be made conformable unto his death. Let me break it down. Verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. He was saying, I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to understand the power of the resurrection that comes from crucifixion. Now listen, Paul was not on a death wish. He didn't watch Charles Bronson movies. Let me know what I'm talking about. That wasn't his ideal. He didn't say, oh man, I just feel like dying. What he said was, in my study of Christ, in the science and the understanding of the knowledge of him, I'm going to have to suffer like him. I'm going to have to learn how to carry my cross. I'm going to have to learn how to die daily. I must decrease so he increases. Listen, Paul knows something here that most modern preachers don't know because they're too dumb and they don't want to read the Bible. But Paul knew that as he went into the sufferings of Christ and as he became in fellowship with that, he came to greater revelation and knowledge than he would ever have under the greatest teachers of the law or the greatest teachers of anything. Because Paul, again, I told you, he wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. Why did Paul write two-thirds of the New Testament? Luke was a physician. There were others that were capable. I believe that God chose Paul because Paul was willing to let go of everything he had, and that Paul was willing to give his life completely. I'm going to prove that in just a minute, okay? Watch. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to be in fellowship with his sufferings. Boy, wouldn't that be an awesome altar call? How many of y'all want to get saved and have the fellowships of Jesus' suffering? Come on up. You'd have very few. I mean, we tell them to get saved and give their life to Jesus, but that's where we end it. We should then disciple them and say, hey, you got saved. Now here's how you're going to die. Here's how you're going to live for Christ. Here's what you got to give up. Here's what you got to do to get closer to him. But we don't do that. We just say, you're saved. Okay, take care. Have a nice life. And never really teach them the way they should live. So he said, the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his what? Death. He didn't say to be made conformable unto his life. He said unto his death. That's powerful. He said everything else is scubalon. Everything else is rubbish to me. But I want to know him. I want to know about his death. I want to know how he gave his life and how he lived after he gave his life. Do you see that? See, we want to live on the resurrection side of things, but nobody wants to go to the cross. True discipleship is to go to the cross, carry the cross, and be resurrected in resurrection power. There's power. There's power in the resurrection. Okay? But he says this, man, he said he wants to be made conformable. He wants to be in that understanding of what Jesus went through. Not just in the cross, but what Jesus did while he walked on the earth. Because you read what Paul said, man, in Romans, he teaches us, he speaks to us, and he says, man, you know, you gotta submit your body to God, you gotta submit yourself to holiness, you gotta, you know, mortify the members in different places. He speaks on holiness. Well, how do we get to holiness? We follow the Holy One. And we follow the life of Jesus, who was tempted like all men, but yet didn't sin. Sinless, blameless, spotless life. But Paul was headed somewhere here that very few people teach about. Paul was headed to being a martyr. Paul had a mindset of being a martyr. If you read this and you look inside what Paul was really saying, because we use this teaching I'm giving you now, you know, for exalting and encouragement and just running the race and all that stuff. But when you really get into what Paul was saying, he was saying, I want to know what it's like to die for Christ while I live. Boy, this is foreign, but it's true. He said, everything in my life is damaged. Skubalon. You know, that's the only place in the New Testament that word is ever used, right there. Nowhere else in the New Testament, but right there in the Greek. It's a very powerful statement, if it's never said anywhere else, don't you think? Listen to this. I want you to write this down. This is a very powerful truth. Now remember, he's not wanting, when he says that I want to be in the fellowship of the sufferings, he's not talking about the vicarious atonement, the things that Jesus did on the cross physically. He's not talking about that. Okay? He's not talking cultish. He's not talking craziness. Jesus did it all. He was the Lamb that took away the sins of the world and all those things. But he was saying, I want to be in that experience. But watch this. Listen to this. Christ died. Christ died not only as a victim to sin. Christ died not only as a victim to sin, but he died as a martyr to truth. Let that sink in. Read that again tonight when you go home. Christ died not only as a victim to sin. Because remember, he died for the ungodly. He died for the sinners. He became the victim. He became the lamb that was slain from the foundations of the earth. He gave his life for all of us. But he died as a martyr. For truth, or of truth, or to truth. There's several ways you can say that. It was truth. He was martyred for the truth. He gave up his life for the sinner, but they killed him for truth. They hated him for truth. So Paul is saying, I want to live a life of truth. And I want to suffer. I want to be made conformable unto his death of how he died. How he died for the truth. And see, an intercessor, when they begin to become conformable to the sufferings of Christ, then we begin to let go of our world, ourself, and our issues. And we begin to focus on, what does God want to talk about? What is the Holy Spirit feeling right now? How does the Holy Spirit feel right now about this nation? And if we really get a hold of that, we can't have poppycock church anymore. We can't. You can't. If you really get a hold of this thing, you cannot have business as normal in your life. Something's got to keep you up at night. Something's got to wake you up and make you pray in the Holy Ghost. Something's got to shake you and make you go to tears looking at the news. Not saying, oh, well, I guess the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Oh, man, that's terrible. No, my God. My God, the 59 people killed and 500 and something people injured. My God. And I don't recommend you watch any of these videos, but, man, I watched them dying. How do you not intercede? How do you not cry out to God? Well, you don't cry out because you don't care. But Paul was saying, I'm living for this truth to be known in my life. Now, again, Paul was not having a death wish, not in the way of some misconstrued, crazy way. He was just saying, man, Jesus, he lived and he died and he rose, and I want to experience the whole thing. Commercial church, they just want to dance in the tulips on the resurrection side, pop me out of here, Jesus, like a Pop-Tart, and I'm gone. But a true follower of Christ, someone who wants to experience the sufferings, again, I'm not talking about being battered and bruised and thrown in prison. If those things take place, then they take place. Because, again, Jesus, he was a martyr for truth. That's a very powerful statement. I'm going to chew on that for a long time. Because it takes everything into greater perspective. Not only did he lay his life down for me and for sin, but he stood and he bled and he hung and he died for truth that you handle right now in your hands called the Bible. So I have to follow Paul. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Is that right? He wasn't following Christ to the bank. He was following Christ to the cross. And then he was resurrected with him. Now watch this. If by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now Paul's not talking about just being resurrected and, you know, hope I'm going to make it and get up someday. He understood that. But Paul was talking about something deeper and something greater. Not as though I had already obtained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He said, I want to be a part of this thing. I want to be a part of this life. I want to be a part of being martyred, if you will, for the truth. I want to die for the truth. And see, some people think that's too hard of a word. But in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, go into all the world and be witnesses. The word witnesses is martyrs, which is martyr. I'm a witness for Jesus. You're going to die. That's what it means. Every time you witness and stand for truth, you have the potential, and really it's actually applicable to your life. You are being martyred for truth because the world lies in the evil one. The world lies in lies and deceit and entrapments. And so every time we stand up and we preach it, we come against all these facades. We're dying, but we're standing for truth. Isn't that powerful? Someone says, I don't know about dying. That ain't. I'm not talking about your physical. I'm not talking about dying, losing your breath. I'm talking about the dying to the world and the truth becoming more life and alive in you. I'm telling you, this is the suffering of an intercessor. This is the suffering of a believer. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, for this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. Notice that he said, this is the one thing I do. Not the 1,000. Not the 50,000 things. Come on now. Preacher will sell you a book on 50 different ways to be healed. And whatever. He said, this is the one thing I do. I'm going to concentrate. I'm going to focus on this one thing. I'm forgetting those things which are behind. I'm reaching forth to those things which are before. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Notice this. He said, I press toward. It means that he exerts his entire life. He gives his complete energy as somebody who is racing in some type of race. It really means this in the Greek, if you study it out, it means that he was running for his life. I feel like I'm doing that here. I really do in Ignited. I feel like I'm running for my life. I'm running towards the things of God. I'm running towards the future. I'm not looking back at success. I'm not looking back at failures. I'm not looking back at, I'm just running for life. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. Just run for life. Whose life? His life. The life of Christ. And it's a life of suffering. It's a life of sacrifice. So I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. And you know, preachers preach this all the time. And this is a high calling. This is a, no, it's God calling you up higher. It's not the high calling. You stand behind a microphone and preach. It's not that necessarily. It's talking about the higher calling of God. He says, I press in. I'm running for my life to meet that mark, to reach that mark of that calling that's upon high. He's calling me higher. I decrease, he increases. And when he does, he's lifted up. He said, I draw all men unto me. And then we end up going into a sphere, into a place of access we've never been to. A place of favor, a place of destiny. Can you see any of this? So he said, I run towards it. I run towards the crown. The crown of a martyr. I believe that's exactly what Paul was trying to articulate to us in Philippians chapter 3, and you can read the rest in your own time. But let me give you a few words as I close. When you gain the attitude of Paul, you will gain his altitude in God. When you gain the attitude of Paul, what's the attitude of Paul? I don't care what everybody else is doing. I don't care about my success. I don't care about my failures. I don't care about the denominations. I don't care about the Pharisees. I don't care about the Sadducees. I don't care about the naysayers. I don't care about anybody that is yapping and nipping at my heels. I'm running towards this crown. I'm running to find out about this truth. I am studying Christ. So when you gain this attitude of Paul, you will gain his altitude in God. I believe that with all of my heart, that we can have revelation upon revelation when we get closer to him. And that's not just being head knowledge and Bible stuff and being some great rabbi and theologian. It means that when I pray and I intercede, I can hear things from God that I could not hear on my own natural ability that I'm not worthy to hear. But because I'm willing to die for truth, that truth presents itself. When we suffer the loss of all things, we gain everything in Christ. Our intercession will reach new heights when we press towards letting go of the world. Paul was willing to be a martyr for truth. Look at Paul's life. He stood before some pretty big people. He stood in a lot of places of persecution, but he kept saying truth. He kept pursuing truth. He said, send me to Rome. I got truth in my belly. I'm going to get it out. Well, they're going to kill you over there. I ain't worried about that. I'm running for my life. I'm running towards truth. And I believe Paul was a phenomenal man of God, obviously. But what made Paul so great, and again, why I believe he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament and God chose him, is because he was willing to die for truth. He was willing to pursue it. He was willing to be made conformable unto his death. How many preachers do you hear say that today? They always talk about his life and the abundance of life. Very few say, I want to be made conformable unto his sufferings. Well, don't put that on me. You don't understand what Paul was saying. If you read Paul, Paul was joyous. Even when he was snake bit, he shook it off. Even when he was shipwrecked. Even when he was going through imprisonments, even when he was going through the worst of situations, Paul said, count it all joy. Paul wasn't lying. Paul wasn't faking it till he makes it. Paul understood something. He had a science about Christ. He had a study about him that was so deep within him, he was willing to die for it. And I pray that we'll do the same when we learn this suffering as intercessors, that we would get so close to truth and so close to the voice of God that he would speak to us in a mighty way. Heavenly Father, I delivered your teaching tonight. I pray that we would follow the pattern of Paul, that we would study Christ, to know him, to understand what you did on the cross and how you paid the price for truth, and that we'd be willing to do the same thing, because there's so many people that are willing to sell out for lies. They're not willing to stand behind a pulpit, Father God, and a camera and declare truth to this nation. Very few, Father, and very few are willing to pray in private and intercede, Father, for the world. I know Ignited Church does, and I pray that we'll continue to learn this truth, that we would be people who understand the suffering of Christ, so we can understand the suffering of our brothers and sisters around the world and those that don't know you. Baptize us in this truth, Father. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you guys. I'll see you Sunday. Amen.